This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Ceasefire with Ukraine. That's the good news. A partial ceasefire with Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine. That's a big deal. Big deal. Big news coming out of this Tuesday. Man, big news in the JFK files. Are we going to get them today? Are they imminent? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli, streaming live on YouTube for your listening entertainment pleasure. Comment along and join the fun. You can also, of course, call the show at 855-839-1210. You know, there's a whole thing going on with the courts. You know, we've talked about this a lot with the courts and the judges and these federal judges who are, I mean, they're rogue. They're rogue judges trying to stop the president of the United States of America. And the Chief Justice, John Roberts, has weighed in here because John Roberts is looking out for the court. But that tells me, though, that the idea of the Supreme Court slapping down these federal judges is not something we're going to get anytime soon, which is kind of a bummer. And the wackos on the left, you know, first it was they mandated that everybody had to buy a Tesla by 2035. Everybody had to buy a Tesla or an electric vehicle. Now they're bombing them. Yes, they're using Molotov cocktails to bomb and blow up Teslas. I kid you not. It's actually really happening. It's a real thing. We'll talk about that as well today. The police just had a press conference about this a short time ago. And in addition to that, too, we've got, Don Lemon talking about how he used to get harassed by both men and women at CNN. I'm not sure I believe that he was harassed by both men and women. I feel like it's pick a lane. You know what I mean? I don't know. Just call me crazy. I don't see a lot of women harassing the guy. I mean, I don't see guys harassing the guy either, but that's just me. But I don't think you could go out there and make a claim like that and say it's both sexes who were doing it. You know, call me crazy. I don't see it. I don't hear it. Anyway, then in New Jersey, you know, there's more blowback over this story about how when your baby's born, you have to decide if it's gay or if it's straight. You got to let the doctor know if it has a pronoun preference. All that's happening, too. It's kind of nuts. It really is. Not kind of nuts. It's totally nuts. But it's the reason why moms and dads are waking up every single day in the blue state of New Jersey, which is going to it's got a real chance of becoming a red state. So this Friday and Saturday, they're having their New Jersey Republican Leadership Summit down in Atlantic City. And I'm going to be going to it on Saturday. Obviously, Friday, we have our Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. They invited me to come and interview all the candidates running for governor Friday and Saturday. But of course, I can only do Saturday. But Vivek Ramaswamy is speaking. They've got a bunch of speakers coming. And there's going to be Republican leaders from around the state converging on AC. Because we, you know, two states for governor, Virginia and New Jersey. We got a chance to win both. We really do. We got a chance to win both. But if we can flip Jersey, and I think it can be done. Look, it's an odd state. I mean, I grew up cutting my teeth in Jersey politics. It's an odd state. It never elects senators who are Republican, but it does elect Republican governors. And it's an odd year election. So there's that. Now, the question it'll be is, does the Trump factor help or hurt whoever the Republican nominee is for president? And does that matter in the sense of, do people say, hey, good, let's be smart, have a partner in the White House who can actually help the state, a guy who's going to be living in New Jersey in the summer? I mean, he's going to be in Bedminster all summer. It's what he does. In fact, I was just texting with a buddy of mine, and he's a member of Trump National at Bedminster. And he's like, yeah, you and the kids should come by this this summer, and it's going to be wild. And I said, sure, sounds good. I mean, you know, last time I was there with the kids when he was president, Patrick was very young. The kids were young. They kind of had meltdowns. Now they might think it's kind of cool. I don't know. We'll see. But beyond that, I mean, that's what I mean. He's going to be living in Jersey. He'll be living in Bedminster for the entire summer. So you would think New Jersey voters would say it's beneficial to our state to have a governor who can just take a short, you know, drive over to Bedminster, hang out with the president, golf with the president, and get what the state needs for things. Because there's a lot of things the state needs. I mean, there's a big battle right now over congestion pricing, which thankfully doesn't affect us here in South Jersey and Philadelphia, but it's a big deal in New York. And it's a big deal if you go to New York. And many people in our region have to go to New York City for business or Fox News appearances. Not mentioning names. Some of us do. And, you know, not all of us can have the luxury of having a luxury car sent to pick you up and drive you there. Again, not mentioning names. I'm just saying that some people actually have to drive it. So that's a big deal. Then, of course, there's all kinds of things with infrastructure. And just in general, it's ending the wokeism in schools, because I can tell you, because I hear from parents all the time on this, the issue of their kids being exposed to woke nonsense in schools, it's not just going away just because Trump signed an executive order. These school boards are going to fight like hell on this. So you need a partner in the governor's office who's going to do that. And then the other aspect of this is electricity rates. I've been telling you this story, and I'm wearing my Grand Hotel shirt because, you know, the Grand Hotel of Cape May. You may have a shore house at the Jersey Shore. You know, you may live in PA, but have a shore house down there. You may live in South Jersey. Your rates are going to go up this summer, starting in June, anywhere from 17% if you're a residential customer to 25% if you're a business. And all those business costs are going to get passed on to us as the consumers. So while the media is screaming about egg prices, even though they are starting to come down, they're not paying attention to the electricity prices. And the reason, the direct reason why this is happening in the Garden State is because our idiot governor, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, his stupid energy master plan, which included you having to have an electric vehicle by the year 2035. Of course, now he'll mandate that everybody has to have a gas-powered vehicle by 2035, just to stick it to Elon Musk. Well, we can't produce enough energy in the state. And even if they had succeeded with building those massive whale and dolphin killing turbines off the Jersey Shore, which thank God that project's dead now, thanks to Congressman Jeff Van Drew and President Trump and many other brave people who worked really hard on this, Mike Testa, Mike Donahue, my buddies. But it's dead. Goodbye. Good riddance. But now we got to work on getting electricity rates that are affordable. And again, you having a partner in the White House can help with that. So hopefully, with Scott Pressler's work and Paula Scanlon, our buddy, who you first got to know Paula from, she was a swimmer at Penn. So she was one of the swimmers who had to deal with Will Thomas, a.k.a. Leah, and Will Thomas's schlong in the pool. And, you know, that's how Paula first came to me, even though it turns out I'm very good friends with her family. I didn't know that at the time. It was one of those weird things where, yeah, I'm friends with people, and I didn't realize she's coming on my show. And then one day they said, oh, you know, our niece was great on your show. Say your niece was on my show? How did I not know that? Same last name. I just didn't put it together. But, you know, sometimes a little slow in the uptick. Yeah, but now she's working for Scott Pressler. And obviously Pressler, who was able to help deliver Pennsylvania for President Trump and the Republican for Dave McCormick, is now working, setting his sights on New Jersey. After he was on the show and I asked him, will you please bravely don a George Washington hat and cross the Delaware River and fight for Jersey? And he said he would. Oh, funny story, by the way. I was telling Patrick about the little Christmas boat ride that General Washington had during the Revolutionary War, and how on Christmas Eve they went and they fought the Hessians, the Germans, German soldiers. Because, you know, it wasn't over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, all right? They were still fighting even back then. And I told Patrick the story, and he related to his class about the Hessians on Christmas Eve, on that night that they crossed the Delaware. And he got an extra star in his little book from his teacher for his historical knowledge. Had a good dad moment right there, patting myself on the shoulder. Of course, I had my dates wrong. I told him it was 1957. But again, you know, dates, years, times like that are all kind of, you know. But anyway, so we got across to Delaware now from Pennsylvania and helped flip Jersey. And a lot of our friends in Jersey did the exact same thing for us in Pennsylvania. So I mentioned my buddy Mike Donahue. So he and Matt Rooney, who you know from the Matt Rooney Show, which is heard every Sunday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. And when he fills in for me, and puts you to sleep for good. I'm kidding. Rudy's fine. But he and Rudy, so Donahue and Rudy together are doing the America First Policy Agenda Initiative for New Jersey. So America First Policy was on the national level. It was created after President Trump became president and then continued when he left the White House. And then now it's going to state by state chapters. So they have the Jersey chapter of this. And then they're working to flip New Jersey red using the America First principles. And there's all kinds of other groups out there, too. I mean, I don't want to I'm not meaning to exclude any. I talk to these groups almost daily, various people from them, parents' rights movements and everything else. But the point is that the momentum is on our side. And during the last election, Donahue, who's the chairman of the Cape May Republican Party, was sending busloads of his people. Senator Mike Testa, who's the chairman of the Cumberland County Party, sending busloads of people across the river to Pennsylvania to help out and flip Pennsylvania. So we got to do the same in Pennsylvania now and help flip Jersey red. But obviously that election is not until November and there's a primary first in June. But the question is going to be, where do parents come down, whoever the nominee is, where do they come down on either just voting to have a president in the White House who's somebody they can work with, who will help them, or do they want to be the resistance? Now, my as a betting man, I'm going to bet on the fact that they're going to want somebody who's going to help them and not be the resistance. They're going to want somebody who's going to help and achieve the things in the state that they can achieve on the national level. And then before you know it, it's going to be time for us to all start thinking about midterm elections, which are going to be right around the corner. And as long as Chuck Schumer is the mouthpiece for the Democrat Party, we have nothing to worry about. I'm telling you right now, we're fine. We're good. We're going to be okay. We're going to be just fine. He was on the View earlier today, and he was whining about all these people who are complaining about the fact that they pay all these taxes, they make all this money, and then they have to send their taxes to the government. He's complaining about this. I'm like, yeah, Chuck, that's exactly right. It's exactly the problem. That's literally what we're talking about. We work really hard, and then we send our money to Washington, and then you guys take it and you waste it by sending it to all these NGOs around the world with all their agendas, and it's nonsense, and people are sick and tired of it. And then you've got woke DEI curriculum in the classroom, and you've got woke DEI nonsense in businesses in America still. So all these factors are there. And I'm of the opinion that the Democrat Party just cannot get out of its own way. It's very obvious. They keep stepping on themselves. I mean, Democrats are demanding that Chuck Schumer step down because he didn't vote to shut the government down. Now, that's, think about that for a second. For years, we heard shutting the government down was the worst thing you could do. People would die. People would die. America would crumble. Social Security checks wouldn't go out. Veterans would die. Everybody would die. Everybody dies. Be like four people left. We heard that for years. Every time a Democrat was in the White House and there was talk of a government shutdown. And so what ultimately happened? Well, spineless Republicans would ultimately cave, even though I would tell them and you would tell them and other brave conservative hosts would tell them, nobody's going to die. All right, we're going to be fine. If the government shuts down, we'll be fine. We'll survive. We'll live. Everybody will be okay. But they get scared and they fall down and they capitulate. And so the government would remain open. Now, in this case, it's the Democrats who are the ones telling everybody that we're all going to die if the government shuts down, are demanding that Chuck Schumer step down because he didn't allow the government to shut down. It's just like the same people that once said, if you don't drive a Tesla, you're killing the earth, are now burning Teslas and throwing Molotov cocktails at them and blowing them up. It's an insane time to be alive. It really is. It's just crazy people in charge. And that's why when you see President Trump reaching out to Vladimir Putin and you see the peace that's being worked on right now between the president and Russia and Ukraine, you got to feel very, very happy about that. I guess I should probably silence my phone. You should probably be very, very happy about that. Most people would, except if you're a warmonger. But there are a lot of people unhappy with that for two reasons. Number one, they don't like the idea that Trump is brokering peace between Russia and Ukraine. That's number one. The gravy train's going to get shut off, and they don't like that because they want that gravy train spigot to flow. And all of these people in the military-industrial complex. But number two is the fact that they don't want to see him get the credit for doing something that the previous administration never even bothered trying, which is to bring about peace and a ceasefire with Ukraine and Russia. They don't want to give him the credit for that. Now, as far as these deportations go and the issue with the federal judges and the federal courts, I think it was White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller who put it really well when he said the courts don't have the ability to get in the way of the president in his capacity as commander in chief conducting international affairs. And I believe that to be absolutely the case, because the very simple logic test for you is this. When we're talking about outside the United States of America, you know, I am not a fan, for example, of, say, CIA black sites. All right. I'm not a fan of those things. I think that they're detrimental to the Constitution. I don't like the idea of any American citizen not being given the ability to see a lawyer promptly. You know, unlike the left, I was saying this when they were holding January 6th prisoners who were denied counsel. I don't like the idea of detaining American citizens just simply because they're Japanese or German or Italian, like Franklin Roosevelt did with internment camps. But those things all happen on U.S. soil, and then courts should intervene. And what the Supreme Court ruled in the Korematsu decision, which is that FDR's decision is executive order to say to Japanese, Italian, and German-American citizens, we're taking you out of your homes without due process and forcing you into concentration camps, because that's what they were. Call them internment camps, whatever you want to call them. It's what they were. You couldn't leave. And the Supreme Court in the Korematsu decision upheld the president's executive order on that. They were wrong. It has since been overturned by this Supreme Court, thank God. But when we're talking about overseas issues, it's always been understood that the president's power to conduct his powers as commander in chief outside the border of the United States of America, the courts don't have any authority in that matter. And thank God they don't. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if every time there was an injunction filed by a federal judge before the United States of America invaded a country, launched a missile attack, whatever it was? I mean, imagine if a judge had the ability to tell the commander in chief, I don't think you should go into Afghanistan. Well, but we have real credible information here that we've got terrorists there. We need to go. Well, yeah, but you know what? I'm signing this restraining order and I'm barring you from sending the troops into Afghanistan. I mean, how ridiculous would that be? I mean, so what's the difference then when the president has people that he's designated under federal statute to be designated terrorists, enemies of the United States, and then he takes them out of the United States of America and conducts an international mission to remove them from the United States of America, and they're out of the United States airspace. How does a federal judge then have any authority in that matter? The answer is he doesn't. No different than if the president were to launch a missile and a judge were to try to put a restraining order on that missile, a temporary injunction on the missile, and try to call it back. I demand you to call that missile back. What? No. No. This is why the president is the commander in chief, and the president is the one who conducts these foreign operations. And yeah, removing a bunch of scumbag terrorist designated cartel members is part of the deal. Look, Thomas Jefferson was a complicated guy, but we kind of settled this question when he had to go kick some Barbary pirate booty, if you know what I mean. Not like booty in the treasure, but booty in the behind. But it's just that it's kids show, family show. I don't want to say, you know, the A word. But when Thomas Jefferson said, you know, we got to go fight these Barbary pirates, like the issue of whether or not a president could use force on a basis to protect the United States of America without getting the okay of Congress, because it was not a war, declaration of war, but then also that it was not subject to review by the Supreme Court, was kind of settled in that moment. And so, I mean, not to invoke the Barbary pirates here, even though I hear it's a fun ride at Disney, or maybe that's the Pirates of the Caribbean, I forget. Either way, not to invoke the Barbary pirates here, but it's pretty understood. You know, if stuff goes down outside of the United States of America, the president acts in his capacity as commander in chief, just like in times of national emergency when the president acts in his capacity as commander in chief. And the courts can't stop him. So let's say tomorrow we were invaded on U.S. soil. Let's say you are sitting, I'm going to do a hypothetical situation. You're sitting in your high school classroom and it's boring. You look outside, there's a bunch of people parachuting in. A bunch of, let's say, Russians parachuting in. And you look around, you're like, whoa, we got to do something about this now. We're being invaded. So you call up your buddies. Let's call them the Wolverines. In a pickup truck, going to the mountains. Just saying. It'd be very helpful if Patrick Swayze was around. And you go. Now, if the president had to deal with that and it was an imminent invasion, what's a federal judge going to do? Sign a temporary restraining order saying you can't deal with the people who are parachuting into our country. I'm demanding that they be heard. Imagine the stupidity of that. Federal judge issues an order and says, I want to hear from the Russians who are parachuting into our country. They'll appear in my courtroom tomorrow at 10 a.m. But until such time, the United States of America can't do anything to them. Now, if a bunch of high school rebels want to go up to the mountains in their pickup trucks and take some shotguns from their dads and go fight, well, that's different. That's the court has no authority over them. But technically the court does have authority, but, you know, it's also a movie. So, you know, there's that. But how ridiculous would that be? The United States is getting attacked. And I'll give you another hypothetical scenario. Say the Brits came back and decided to burn down the White House again because they did it once. And they were like, well, let's do it again. We got them fooled. They think we're buddies now. You know, and revenge is a dish best served cold. So we're gonna burn down the White House again. And they start setting fire to the White House. And the president starts dispatching the military to fight the Brits. And the federal judge is like, whoa, I want to hear this out. All right. We've taken Meghan Markle. You could argue she's a political prisoner. Maybe they have a point. So I'm ordering the president to stand down so I can hear from the Brits about why they want to burn down the White House again. It's so stupid. The notion of what these judges can do when the president is exercising his powers as commander in chief. So the only question is, when we're dealing with this issue of these designated terrorists, is the president acting in his capacity as commander in chief? The answer to that is yes, because even though I did not pass the law, that is this Alien Enemies Act, Congress did. I was not in Congress back then, because I wasn't alive back then, and they gave the president this power. So as long as that law is on the books and the president decides to designate these groups as foreign enemies, well, then they're enemies. And then he's got the power as commander-in-chief to do something about it. If you want to debate whether the law is constitutional or not, the Supreme Court can do that. But the idea that a federal judge is going to stop him, or now the latest is a federal judge has just now ordered the reinstatement of the United States Agency for International Development Functions. These are all egotistical maniacs who are trying to stop Trump just so that they can audition for a seat on the United States Supreme Court. That's it. That's all they're trying to do. They want to be able to show the next president who's a Democrat, look what I did. I tried to stop him at every turn. But just use the common sense test for you. The common sense test would be, does the court have the ability to stop the president when he's exercising his powers as commander in chief? So why would Congress give the president of the United States of America at the very, very early days of our country the power to be able to designate these enemies, these aliens, and then kick them out of the United States of America if they felt that that was something the president should not have the power to do? Just ask yourself that question. Because back then in the 1790s, they were acutely aware of ensuring that the president did not exceed his presidential authority. Yeah, you know, they just booted out a king. They were really worried about the fact that the president would become a king. So they put in all these guardrails to keep that from happening. So that Congress, very young, America was only like a couple years old at the time. And they give the president this power under this act, 1798, knowing that it would give the president power. When the whole structure of the Constitution was to essentially restrain the president's power to not be a monarch. They did that because they understood that there's times where the president has to act in the United States interest, and there's no time to get Congress together for a declaration of war. And the other thing is that the president acting in his capacity is not subject to judicial review. Judicial review, something the Supreme Court gave itself, a power that the court found itself. They just decided this in Marbury v. Madison, one of the earliest cases before the United States Supreme Court. And it's not in the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say the Supreme Court gets to decide what's constitutional and what isn't. They decided that for themselves. And that's stood ever since. But there's nothing in there that goes, oh, but here's the other thing, too. Here's the other thing we get to do. We get to serve as a check on the commander-in-chief. What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Before he can do anything as commander-in-chief, he has to go before us and explain his actions. And any judge can stop him from exercising his duties as commander-in-chief of the United States of America. mean, just say that out loud and think of how stupid that sounds, and you'll understand why these judges are making a laughingstock of the Constitution. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Big show for you today. Will we get the release of the JFK files? Will they show anything new? Will redacted be the drinking word game of the day, drinking game word of the day? And will Gerald Posner have to eat crow after writing the book Case Closed? Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Well done, Justin. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Did you ever see the remake, by the way?
Oh, no.
No.
Couldn't bring myself to sully a classic like that.
No, they should never have made it. I think that's a disgrace that they ever did. I really do. DeSantis probably never saw the original. How much you want to bet?
You are spot on. I've seen the remake.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. You didn't see the original Red Dawn? You saw the remake of Red Dawn?
I saw the remake with Chris Hemsworth and Josh Hutchinson, I think. And Josh Peck is in it as well.
What's wrong with him, Justin?
What's wrong with you?
I didn't even know there was an original. I thought it was just Red Dawn from 2012 or whenever it came out.
Oh, my God.
Justin, I'm so sorry he's back in studio with you, because at least you could shut his mic off when he's in Phoenix and not have to deal with this. I am sorry.
Chris Hemsworth is a big star. Why would I not know that one? Who's even in the original?
He's a big star and he should stay Thor. I'm not suggesting that they do a remake of Thor. Why does he have to do a remake of Red Dawn is my question, huh?
I don't even know the people. We got Charlie Sheen in the original one. That's kind of cool. He's funny.
Yeah. Oh, kind of cool. Yeah, kind of cool, right? Just kind of cool.
Just totally skipping over Patrick Swayze, too, by the way.
Well, leaving that out. I don't even think DeSantis knows who Patrick Swayze is. Actually.
I know who Patrick Swayze is.
Do you?
I do.
He played Jed in the movie, by the way.
Give me a second to Google it. I'll tell you all about Patrick Swayze. Oh, he's the guy in Ghost, which I've never seen, and Dirty Dancing, which I've also never seen, but I've heard of them.
I mean, honestly, it's painful. We're going to have to load the trailer to the original 1984 Red Dawn. Justin, can you pull that up for me so that we can play it?
Gotcha.
Because now I just have to... I'm going to have to watch it tonight. That's what I'm going to have to do. See Thomas Howell. Leah Thompson was in it. There's some good, big stars in there. DeSantis saw the remake. Everybody's in Red Dawn. Patrick Swayze, C. Thomas Howell, Leah Thompson, Charlie Sheen, Darren Dalton, Jennifer Grey, Brad Savage, Doug Tobey, Ben Johnson, everybody's in this movie. Powers Booth is in it. So, literally everybody was in the original Red Dawn. What a great movie. Man. And every high school kid was hoping and praying that one day they'd look out their window and see Russians parachuting into their schoolyard to go fight them. That's all we wanted. it's true.
Why would anyone want that?
To go fight them like they did in Red Dawn. That's why. That's why, because it's a badass movie, and it's a great movie, and...
I don't know if it's great. I'm looking at the Rotten Tomatoes rating right now, and it's at 48%. Now, granted, my Red Dawn is significantly less than 48%, but neither one is clocking into anything impressive.
All right, first of all, you're looking at the snobby, elite critic score of Red Dawn. No one cares. Look at the popcorn meter. What's the popcorn meter say?
That one's at 65.
All right, well, people are being... They need to rewatch it. It's better. It ages better. It ages better than it did back in the 80s. I mean, we're dealing with limited special effects back then, okay?
I got the trailer if you want to play it.
Absolutely we do. We sure do. So just again, the analogy that I was using in my opening was basically like, what happens if the Russians start parachuting into a small Colorado town and some federal judge issues an injunction to the president saying, can't do anything about it. We want to hear the Russians out. Be in my courtroom tomorrow at 10. It's so stupid. But this is this is Red Dawn from 1984. Oh, I missed that. Now you see the picture of them parachuting in. See the kids in the classroom? And then, you know, they say basically no Americans have... America's never been attacked before. It's like an eagle flying. It's very peaceful. Very, very peaceful in our time, they say. America has always known peace.
What's going on here, my friend?
No foreign army. Yeah, has ever occupied American soil. It's actually not true because I'm British again, but until now.
This is the
emergency broadcast system. We are under attack by conventional forces of the Russian army. It is believed the lead waves were disguised as commercial charter flights. Communications have broken down other parts of the country. Large areas of the Midwest may have been overrun.
Not for the Wolverines, they haven't. No way.
They know who all of you are. They're looking for you.
You're 40 miles behind the enemy lines.
I just want to go home.
Took a lot of people away.
Where's my dad, Mr. Eckert?
What if I love somebody, Andy? I'm going to die before it happens.
Joseph!
They're going to kill us! All of us!
So why should we be different?
You know, Michael D. actually pulled over. He was listening. He pulled over to write on the YouTube chat. He's listening on the radio. To write, the original Red Dawn is a great movie. See?
These don't look like high school kids.
Well,
not bad for
they might have been older than that when they played this. But... coming up from the ground, fighting the Russians. Jennifer Grey, pre-nose job. That nose could have just fought the Russians, honestly. Patrick Swayze's best work besides Roadhouse, I would argue. Really good stuff right there. Don't even bother with the crappy original. There should be a law against remaking movies like that.
We can't watch the remake.
No,
trailer.
Absolutely not.
Come on.
And you are a disgrace that you've never seen the original. You've only seen the remake of Red Dawn. That's like if they remade Jaws. You'd be like, I don't know about Jaws, but this remake is great.
That's
how do you
not
do
true.
That?
No, the new Jaws movies are terrible.
Knowing DeSantis, he's only seen Jaws 4, the one with Michael Caine, when they're on the island in the Caribbean, and not the first one.
No, I've seen Jaws
Mario
1,
Van 2. Peebles, Michael Caine, and Lorraine Bracco. That's the one he saw. He's like, I don't get the hype. I don't understand why everybody loves this movie so much.
I've only seen Godfather Part 3. I didn't bother to watch the first two.
Oh, God, help me. Help me. All right. Well, when are we getting the JFK files? When are they coming out? Do we know?
We don't know yet.
No. Ipso facto, just pointing out the fact that Patrick Swayze doesn't play a high school kid. He played someone just out of high school. Thank you. I don't think you really need to nitpick all these... little facts. So facto, I'm just saying.
I'm grateful for the little clarification because I was watching that trailer and I thought there's no way Patrick Swayze is supposed to be a high school student. He looks like he's like, I don't know, 35 years old or something.
Yeah, and don't feed him anything. And the other thing he points out, Japan occupied American soil. They got part of Alaska. All right. I mean, do you think Red Dawn would open better if not since Japan occupied part of Alaska that nobody ever really even heard of? Has an American force ever occupied American soil? Like, probably not. It would have probably lost some of its luster, you know what I mean?
That does sound less dramatic. I agree with you there.
Yeah. It's like me nitpicking in the fact that, you know, I mean, the Brits did occupy U.S. soil, and they did burn down the freaking White House, but that's a grudge, you know. I'm not getting over that anytime soon, so. All right, we're waiting on the JFK file. The only thing is I'm not seeing anything on the Chiron about a presidential... He was supposed to be signing executive orders. Are we still doing this? Do we know, Matt?
It was supposed to be at 3:30. However, Justin and I will frantically check different websites to make sure that we're not missing the start of these things. And there isn't even one that we can find that has like a teaser link to the EO signing. So I'm thinking they're probably not happening. And if they are, they're not happening at, well, they're obviously not happening at 3:30, but they're probably not happening anytime soon.
All right, I'm going to be really bummed. I'm just telling you right now, if this doesn't come out today during the show, because I didn't bother doing any show prep today, just waiting for the JFK files to come out. So that throws everything for a loop now.
Well, we got Gerald Posner at 4:30, so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll be out by then. Otherwise, that's going to be a waste of his time and my time. He'll be like, so. I did do a little bit of show prep today. So one thing I wanted to share with you is, speaking of the internment of the Japanese, Nicole Wallace on MSNBC is literally equating the president removing terrorists, designated terrorists from U.S. soil, which he has the power to do under the Alien Act of 1798, whatever it is, to the internment of Japanese American citizens during World War II. Okay, so here's Nicole Wallace from MSNBC, and I'm going to explain why this is insane. Go ahead.
Is a constitutional crisis now officially upon us? From the invocation of an 18th century law that was the basis for some of the darkest chapters in America's history, things like the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, now being used to deport hundreds of people, to the sudden removal of an immigrant doctor here legally. Both moves, seemingly, from what we know at this hour, at the time, in open defiance of court orders. A series of developments over the last 48 hours point to a Trump administration acting as though it is now unencumbered by the law and things like court rulings. In just an hour from right now, federal judge James Boasberg will hold a hearing on whether the Trump administration violated his ruling when it deported hundreds of Venezuelan migrants to a prison camp in El Salvador. They were deported after Donald Trump invoked the 1798 Alien Enemies Act on Saturday afternoon. Of that, NPR reports this, quote, the Alien Enemies Act allows an expedited removal process, which means those subject to the president's declaration would not go through the normal immigration proceedings in court or be able to claim asylum. The proclamation also leaves no time to contest the government's claims that people are members of a criminal gang. The executive order invoking the law was challenged in court immediately, and the judge was crystal clear in his order putting a stop to the deportations under the Alien Enemies Act.
Now, first of all, leaving aside the fact that Roosevelt did not invoke the Alien Enemies Act when he did internment, the key here is aliens versus United States citizens. Okay, so that's the difference right there. What Roosevelt did was he took American citizens out of their homes and put them in camps, not aliens. He said, we can't figure out the difference, basically. He said, whereas the successful prosecution of the war requires every possible protection against espionage and against sabotage to the national defense material, non-defense premises, and national defense utilities as defined in Section 4 of Act April 20th, 1918, as amended by the Act of November 30th, 1940, and the Act of August 21st, 1941. Where's the Alien Act from 1798? It's weird. You just said he invoked it, but it's not there. Okay. All right. I'll keep going. Now, therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me as President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I hereby authorize and direct the Secretary of War and the military commander, whom he may from time to time designate, whenever he or any designated commander deems such action necessary or desirable, to prescribe military areas in such places and of such extent as he or she deems appropriate, blah, 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 blah. All persons with the right, but it goes on about how they're going to do this, and they're going to give them food, and they're going to give them shelter, and they're going to do all these things, military areas in the regions, and this will happen December after because of Pearl Harbor. I hereby further authorize and direct the Secretary of War and the military commanders to take such other steps as he or she appropriate military commander may deem available to enforce compliance with the restrictions applicable to each military area herein to above authorized to be designated, including to use federal troops and other federal agencies with authority to accept assistance of state and local agencies. And then it goes on to talk about how they're going to do this with medical aid, hospitalization, food, clothing, transportation, use of land, shelter, equipment, utilities, facilities, and services. And then they went and they started picking up American citizens and taking them from their homes and putting them into these designated military areas. Does that sound to you like what President Trump is doing? Does that sound like what President Trump is doing? I mean, literally, Roosevelt didn't even invoke this in Executive Order 9066 because we were dealing with American citizens. We were not dealing with aliens. We were not dealing with enemy combatants. We were not dealing with other people. Roosevelt's thinking was at the time, because he was a huge racist anyway, was, well, you know, the Japanese, I mean, they called them, they had lots of names for them back then. But, you know, these people probably are spies. So we need to put them into these military designated areas. Okay. And we're going to keep them there for as long as I want. They challenge that. It goes to the Supreme Court. This family, this guy Korematsu, sues, says, I'm an American citizen. I've been denied due process here. I have been taken from my home. My family's been taken from my home. And what is this? And the court said, well, tough noogies. That was not officially the opinion in Korematsu. I think it was longer than just tough noogies. But it was essentially that. It was essentially tough noogies. Now, The Descent in Korematsu is fantastic, by the way. I highly recommend reading The Descent at some point if you get a chance. And it's obviously common sense to think the United States of America cannot just simply take American citizens from their homes without due process and put them into camps. But to equate that to what President Trump's doing by removing illegal aliens who are designated criminal enemies of the United States and removing them from the United States is the same thing? Are you kidding me? All right, quick break. Top story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I listen to this song all day. The best is that Twitter has completely turned on Matt DeSantis now, finally. Good.
Oh, we Bravo. Have more shocking and appalling news on par with the JFK files being released.
What's that?
Matt has never seen Top Gun from front to back.
Oh, my God.
He has seen the new ones, though.
I saw the new one. Justin, you've betrayed me. I tell him this in confidence, and he comes back with the music so he can strike up a conversation to make me look even worse.
I just assume that you saw it since you brag on Twitter that Tom Cruise follows you on Twitter.
He
does. Do you think he would follow you if he knew you never saw Top Gun?
That's why this information can't come to light. We need to keep it between ourselves. I don't want him to
And by
to
the way, knowing
me.
You, you'd love the volleyball scene, so you really should watch it.
I wouldn't love the volleyball scene.
Snowbuddy Gal and several other people have just turned on Team DeSantis. It's great. Matt DeSantis from Carrie Marie. Did you grow up in a cave? You don't know movies, you don't know music, and you haven't watched half of the TV shows that literally everyone else has seen. Seriously, where did you come from?
Okay, I like new movies. I'll watch stuff that, like, I saw basically everything that was nominated for an Oscar this year, but I don't go back and watch anything before I was like bored.
You saw a bunch of artsy movies that literally no one else saw. Literally no one in America saw.
There are a couple good ones mixed in.
And you're bragging about that.
I'm not bragging
Snow
about
Snowbunny Gal, I am not Team DeSantis anymore. No way. Hashtag Red Dawn. That's it. You lost her. And wait till people find out you've never watched Top Gun from start to finish.
I can't afford to lose Snowbunny Gal. I'm going to need you to come back, please. I don't have enough support to afford to lose anyone.
I mean, it's just you literally have Linda Kearns left, and that's it. You have one supporter left after all this.
I think Minnie is still by my side. I hope. I can't.
100%. I can
me.
Confirm to you that Minnie is still by your
all
side.
Right, good. Thank you.
Wow. Well, Minnie has got many grades on a curve. I can tell you that. Tell you that. I saw a meme yesterday. The astronauts are heading home after a 9-month delay. I saw a meme yesterday. This Babylon Bee put it out. I think it said, federal judge orders astronauts to be returned to space. And then today there was another meme about something with a court ordering President Trump to no longer eat McDonald's. Today it was, this is very funny. I mean, this is laugh out loud funny. So Kate Hyde is a very funny comedian. She put out this thing on social media. Breaking. First documents from the JFK files have been released. All I have to say is wow. And it's a letter from John F. Kennedy. It's the White House, Washington, July 18th, 1963. To whom it may concern. I have information that will lead to the arrest of Hillary Clinton. Sincerely, John F. Kennedy. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. All right, so I'm starting to see that the files are being released or to be released, or this could potentially be happening soon. So that's some good news, and hopefully that'll happen during the show, and that would be great. So I know the answer to this, but did you ever see the movie JFK?
No comment.
Okay, all right. Oliver Stone, JFK?
Well,
no?
No, I haven't. The answer is no.
Donald Sutherland, Mr. X, Kevin
Gary
Costner
Oldman.
Playing the lawyer who tries the case in a New Orleans court. No,
it came out in 1991. Of course, I didn't see that.
Okay, all right, Justin. I'm sorry, this is going to be a long week for you, man. This is going to be a very long week. It really is.
He's enjoying his time with me in studio.
No, it is not. Nice. No, I will be completely honest. It is nice having another set of hands.
See, I'm helpful.
I wouldn't go that far. well, Hopefully we'll get those files released today during the show. Our buddy Susan Crabtree is going to stop by. There's some breaking news out of California with regards to China. And yes, the astronauts, now that Elon Musk has helped them, are heading home after a nine-month delay. I guess the left will hate them now. Since Elon helped them, since SpaceX helped rescue the astronauts that Joe Biden purposely left orbiting in space, did nothing to help them, purposely left them up there, I assume now the left will hate the astronauts too, and probably hate NASA and probably hate... Because, I mean, that's it. Whatever Trump does, whatever Elon Musk does, then they just reflexively hate. So the astronauts will come home. Instead of getting a hero's reception like astronauts typically do, they'll probably be booed. In fact, I bet Mark Kelly will start burning his astronaut costume just like he sold his Tesla. You know, he'll burn his astronaut suit just like he sold his Tesla, just to show his protest to Elon Musk helping save these astronauts who are heading home now after being stuck in space a nine-month delay. You imagine? Could you imagine that? So bravo to Elon Musk, bravo to SpaceX, and bravo to President Trump for getting it done. It's ridiculous it took this long. It's a joke. All right, big 4 o'clock hour coming up. I had a phone call today from my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. A couple hours ago, he called me and he said, hey, he is at a patient in the office today. He's a fan of the show. I was hoping to connect you guys and have him come on. He's a name you know. I said, great, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Dr. Mike is my friend. He's my dentist. And he also is the master of dental implants, the master of implant dentistry and giving you your beautiful, beautiful smile. So what are you waiting for? Go see Dr. Mike today. He's a great guy. He's a great friend. And if you've been putting off going to the dentist, it's really critical to your health that you do so. Plus, dental procedures like implants are complicated stuff. So you want to make sure you're getting the absolute best. And with two locations, he called me today from his Woodbury office. He also has an office in Sinaminson, New Jersey. They're both right over the bridge. They're easy to get to from wherever you are. You'll love the great work. You'll love having a great smile. You'll be proud to show off your smile. And there's no reason to doubt his work, because for 10 years in a row, he's been recognized as a top dentist in New Jersey among his peers. And if you don't live in New Jersey, trust me on this, it is worth the trip. When it comes to things like dental implants, you don't want to go to a chain, and you don't want to go to the closest dentist necessarily. You want to go to the best. And that's Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.